My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
If you want the real story behind the NFL, you need the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. Three-time Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth breaks down the biggest plays, the biggest games, and the untold stories that make this game what it is. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
As the exclusive sponsor of Grant and Danny, the law firm of Kondori and Murad can guide you and your family in the right direction and help you draft a will or set up a trust. Create a healthcare power of attorney as well. Schedule a free consultation with their estate planning attorneys at kmlawyers.com. Be sure to tell them that we sent you so that you can get a discount. kmlawyers.com. Happy Harlene Susana Travis Sikora Day, Danny.
To all who celebrate.
Throwing in the minor leagues. They are the two flame-throwing 20-year-olds that the Nats have in their system.
Do you like stuff? Oh, thanks, Bruce. Miss you, buddy. Do you like stuff? If you do, today's that day for you.
Susana touches 103. Sakura's only been like 96 to 98. He can touch 100 if he needs to, but he hadn't been rearing back. He just hasn't given up a hit in a couple of starts. So that's two straight outings for him, 11 innings without a hit at the minor league level at Fredericksburg. But always my favorite day of the week as a Nats fan prospect nerd when Sakura and Susana, who have both shoved just about once a week for the last 2 months, pitch on the exact same day.
Also, this place is lit.
Thanks, Charlie.
Also a big day at the Paulson household.
Oh.
My son is riding a bike.
Dude.
Pretty excited about the accomplishment.
That is fantastic. I still can't get my guys to ride bikes. They have no interest.
But they can, though. They know how.
Not really.
Really?
I mean, my oldest, like, did before, like, doesn't like, whatever. It's a whole thing. For my youngest, like, because my oldest won't do it, he refuses. So, like, it's still a training wheels thing if he was to go about it.
Here's how we did it. So my kid's three,
mm-hmm.
which I feel like is job well done by him to
100%.
Get on, to just have the, you know, the stones to get on the bike. This Strider bike, the Spencer Strider, everyone should get. It's a little tiny bike that you use when you're two or three.
Is that the one with like, you just sort of let your feet dangle exactly. on the side? Yeah. It is so king.
So there's no pedals.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the two wheels like a bike, and then your feet or your balance. But he would lift his feet up, basically, and just go down the driveway
you coast,
and
yep.
glide around. But then you run with your feet as your pedals, basically. But the whole point of it is, if you do this enough, when you get on a bike,
it's easier.
It's just like riding a bike.
Oh, thank you.
But when you get on a bike, you just know what to do.
Yeah, we tried that with one, and they showed, what's the opposite of interest? Disdain
okay.
for it? But again, the fact that you've got a willing participant at 3 years old, you are way ahead of the curve.
I couldn't believe it.
He'll be tying his shoe at four.
I
Look
got
at
a
you.
Video from home yesterday, and it was the first time he started really doing it successfully.
Uh-huh.
I was stunned. So this morning when he woke up, he said, let's go out and ride a bike. So I'm sitting there watching
Amazing.
Him. I got to stop him at stop signs. I'm now worried about cars. And used to be just getting him up on the bike, and now I'm like, no, dude, you can't just whip around the turn like
right.
that. It's like, be careful what you ask for. All right, it is time to figure out what we think coming out of a week of preseason games like our guy Peter King did for so many years. I think. He did it in SI. We're doing it on the Grant and Danny radio program.
On the heels of the extension for Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah, who was among the league leaders in tackles for loss last year with 20 as an undersized linebacker, safety, hybrid, whatever you want to call him, just got me to thinking, looking at Cleveland's roster. Their roster is awesome. They are really, really, really good, except at the quarterback spot. And the thing I think is I'd have made that trade too. I know it wasn't popular at the time, given all the things swirling around Deshaun Watson. I understood all that. But guys in their at that age range with the pedigree that he had, everything that had happened as a quarterback, don't become available. And if you are starved, as I was, as Cleveland certainly was, they made that trade. It will go down as one of the worst trades slash subsequent contracts in league history, in all likelihood, unless he has a great year this year, which doesn't seem to be, you know, in the cards. Texas got an unbelievable haul overall. 2022 first rounder, 2022 fourth rounder, 23 first rounder, a third rounder, another first rounder. They've wheeled and dealed and converted a bunch of those guys into starters for a team that's on the rise. That's something I think.
I'll stick with the theme of immensely regretful quarterback decisions. The thing I think, if Aaron Rodgers and the Jets don't get to an AFC championship game this year, well, let's just say if he doesn't play well and they don't get to the playoffs as a floor, that'll go down as such a disaster that they brought him in. Now, unlike Watson, because I disagree with you on the deal, I would not have done that at all. The trouble that guy got into, being out of football, the fact that, you know, when we last saw him before that, he finally had this big year as a passer when his team was behind in every game. I just wouldn't have even been interested in that. But I get why the Jets wanted to bring in a multi-time MVP in the three seasons before he got to New York. But my goodness, man, with the injury force and absent last year, if they either underperform or he's not excellent, or God forbid he gets hurt again, how are we going to view his 2 years in New York if that's what it ends up being at the tail end of his career? Like, the Jets put all their eggs in that basket to try to end the era of everyone poking fun of and looking at the Jets and pointing and going, ha, you guys. And this will be the ultimate everyone pointing and laughing and saying, you guys, especially because Rodgers, as we talked about yesterday with the author of his new biography, Ian O'Connor, has become such a polarizing figure. I think a lot of people are rooting against him. They're rooting against the Jets. I think they're Super Bowl caliber. They have a chance to get there. They have a chance to give the Chiefs problems, and I hope that they do. But Danny, if it's not a great year for the Jets, that will go down as one of the most horrendous multi-year decisions we've ever seen.
Yeah, and I get the thought process, right? You're trying so hard to change. You haven't had a quarterback worth a damn. You've drafted high. You've done free agency. Everything short, it's worth a shot, especially because of how good the Jets have been outside of the quarterback spot. Something I think is Miami is a fascinating organization, a fascinating team. Talking about the Dolphins. They are 20-14 over the last 2 years under Mike McDaniel. When Tua has played, when they've had their the healthy elements, right? When you go to Achan and Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle, when they have their complement, their offense has been really, really hard to stop. They've slowed down or had kind of ruts or haven't showed well in certain preseason or postseason games, rather, against some really good defenses. But they're judged in a different way than a lot of teams that they've performed a lot better than. It's just interesting to me. Like, there's almost like this, yeah, but they haven't won the AFC title game yet, or they haven't beaten Buffalo, a perennial Super Bowl contender, or something. It's just very strange. A group that was moribund, a group that was basically, you know, encouraged by their owner, allegedly, to try to continue losing and rebuilding. They were a joke just a handful of years ago. Is now a team, again, that's won 20 games over 2 years, that looks poised to maybe take one more step forward in a division. Just interesting that they are looked at less favorably than I think a lot of the other teams.
Thing that I think, Sam Darnold has a really good chance to save his career and to be viewed as a starter again after this year when he leaves Minnesota. You will not get an opportunity like this one. So you either go out, play well, ball, and look like the guy that was drafted in the top five, or you are a backup for the rest of your career. But you have been gifted a golden opportunity. J.J. McCarthy's not breathing down your neck. Operation today, out for the year. Nobody is supplanting you. They're not bringing in Nick Mullins. They're not having Jaren Hall take reps from you. It is your team. You're 27 years old. This is when you enter the prime of your career. You got your whole career in front of you, man. Look to your right. That's Justin Jefferson's music. That's the best wide receiver in football, ready to go out and catch 115, 120 balls for 1,750 yards for you. Look to your left. That's Jordan Addison. That's a first-round pick who was dominant at Pitt. Had a great run at USC. Who's as good a number two receiver as there is in the league. TJ Hawkinson's going to be back from an ACL early this season. A dynamic pass-catching tight end. Top three, certainly. I would say maybe even on a good day, as good a pass-catching tight end as there is in the league, with Travis Kelce getting a little older. George Kittle banged up pretty frequently as a really good blocker. You can't get a better situation. The Vikings O-line has gotten to a point finally last year with Darisaw coming on where it's really good. I think they're actually going to be able to run the ball this year, which they couldn't last year. Because remember, they went and got Aaron Jones from Green Bay.
That's right.
There is nothing you should be wanting for if you are Sam Darnold. And we saw it with Kirk Cousins. That offense hums. Go put up numbers, be prolific, and get yourself paid and become a starter. Or I guess we could just continue to see him put up the very pedestrian numbers he had in a career where he's completed over 58% of his passes barely. His 17-game averages are sub 3,000 yards. Like, come on, dude. It's now or never, Sam.
I think people are sleeping on the Tennessee Titans. I'm not telling you they're great. I'm not telling you they're even pretty good. I'm telling you that people are sleeping a little bit. You go back and look at what Will Levis did last year. It doesn't blow your skirt up. His debut of 4 touchdowns in a game and a win against the Atlanta Falcons. I think it was one of the last couple of wins they had on the season. They just finished in disastrous fashion. Under-talented in a lot of spots. They weren't particularly good on the outside. Skill guys were left wanting. They moved on from the, we're going to give it to Derrick Henry 400 times and see what happens era. They've now upgraded a little teeny tiny bit. Little Calvin Ridley sprinkled in, little Tyler Boyd for free agent from Cincinnati. DeAndre Hopkins, of course, is back. There's a little something going on in Tennessee. I think they're going to be better coached, at least on the offensive side of the football, potentially. And, you know, defensively over the years under Mike Vrabel, they were always friskier and maybe then they got some credit for. But I think that division is not particularly special. Houston, everybody's darling. I get that. I think the Colts are fine. This is an intriguing team to me, the Tennessee Titans. I don't think they're good, but I don't think they're as bad and should be written off the way a lot of people are.
What do we think out of a preseason week in the NFL here on Grant and Danny on the Fan? I think that teams should be following what the Super Bowl champions do. What do I mean by that? Anybody noticed that Andy Reid handles the preseason differently than almost every other coach in the NFL? You know what he does in the preseason? Values it. Takes it seriously. Thinks that it actually matters. You know who started for the Chiefs in their preseason game this past week? Everybody.
Mm.
Patrick Mahomes threw 4 passes, went on a drive. Travis Kelce played, caught a ball, blocked. Like Hall of Famer, Patrick Mahomes. Hall of Famer, Travis Kelce. The first team offense for Kansas City. The first team defense for Kansas City. They were on the field. Can you imagine a superstar quarterback playing? It doesn't really happen. You know what else the Chiefs do that I love? They go away for training camp to a college campus. And they have Travis Kelce, who's been on a world tour with his girlfriend, Taylor Swift, staying at the nicest hotels on the globe, sleep on a mattress in a dorm where a freshman's going to be checking in a couple of weeks with like a little sheet and a crappy pillow. They have Patrick Mahomes, who's worth almost $1 billion at this point, sleeping in a dorm. And you could say, oh, that's silly. It's ridiculous. You don't need to do that anymore. And maybe you're right. Let's not remember the Titans. Herman Boone's not walking through that door. But you know who likes doing it that way? Andy Reid. You know who wins every single year? No matter where he's coaching, no matter what year it is? Andy Reid. You know who's going to be coaching in the Super Bowl again this year, probably?
Andy Reid.
That's probably because he has Patrick Mahomes. They can sleep wherever they want, go to camp wherever they want. They might still do that.
Yeah, we could do it on Mars and still be good.
I said this last year when they brought in Bieniemy. Ask him for all of their secrets. Mm-hmm. Whatever they do, you do. Go away for camp. And by God, take preseason seriously like the Chiefs do.
I think. I have no idea, and I mean no idea, what the Rams are going to be this year. I realized that the other day when I was thinking about it. In my mind, they had fallen off, they were injured a lot, and they weren't particularly good last year. Wrong. They finished winning 7 out of 8 games. The only loss, an overtime loss, to the best team in the NFL in the regular season, the Baltimore Ravens. They had a fourth quarter lead against the Detroit Lions in the postseason. I don't remember that. I don't know why I don't remember that, but I didn't remember it, looking it up. Now, again, there's been tons of roster turnover. You're going to miss Aaron Donald an awful lot. That's clear and that's obvious. But Cooper Kupp, presumably, sea legs underneath him. He was kind of working back from injury last year. One of the great rookie seasons we've ever seen from Puka Nacua. Kyron Williams is a star. They are not terrible. If Matt Stafford plays, if Matt Stafford is healthy, that group might be a threat. Not necessarily to San Francisco. That's kind of the class of the NFC, certainly. But I forgot about the Rams, and I just feel like I have no good feel for how good they're going to be this year.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are on the Rams, with the caveat that you said, if Matt Stafford plays, he's a top 10-ish type quarterback, so stands to reason. They should be okay if Stafford's around. Whenever he's been healthy, they've been good.
Yeah.
How about this one, Danny? Hmm? Where are you at on this? Thing I think, NFL version. Dennis Allen's the head coach of the New Orleans Saints. They went 7-10 in his first year and then 9-8 last year. I think he gets fired in the fall. I think he's the first guy to lose his job this year. I think New Orleans gets off to a slow start, probably finishes with 6-7 wins, something like that. And I think Dennis Allen is the first coach out of a job this football season. They open with the Panthers, so that is a gotta-have-it game. Because if you lose that one, now we're in big, big trouble if I'm Dennis Allen. But let's say they open and they win in the division on September 8th against Carolina. Then they've got Dallas, 1-1. Then they've got Philly, hypothetically, 1-2. Then they play New Orleans. Then they play Atlanta, rather. Very winnable game. But I'm going to say that they lose that game, 1-3. Then they've got Kansas City, 1-4. Boom goes the dynamite. Mm-hmm. I think Dennis Allen could be in trouble. He's just kind of a jag head coach for me anyway. Like a placeholder type. He's got a little Matt Eberflus.
Yeah, very Eberflusian.
But this is the thing that doesn't, like, hiring defensive-minded coaches at a very high rate doesn't work, and teams should stop doing it. But occasionally, if the stars align, if you get the great quarterback, if you hire the perfect staff, then you can make it work. Washington's trying to thread that needle right now with Dan Quinn, and I certainly hope that they do. But the numbers are the numbers. Over now 20 years, we've post-hiring of Belichick and Tomlin, it just has not worked. This is not the league to do that in. But I think the Saints get that memo once and for all midway through another mediocre season under Dennis Allen.
I think. Staying in the NFC West for a moment. We think of the Arizona Cardinals as terrible, which I understand because they were awful last year. Truly two straight years. The end of Cliff Kingsbury's time. Injury to Kyler Murray. And then they were smart about it, by the way. They didn't rush him back last year. Let him get his feet wet a little bit in kind of working him back in on a way to a 4-13 finish. No reason to, you know, to go to the whip to make sure you win six games or something like that. It's meaningless. It's empty, etc. I think they've whisper quiet upgraded talent a little wise. Obviously, your headliner is Marvin Harrison Jr., but there's a lot that I'm intrigued by with this Arizona Cardinals group. I happen to think Jonathan Gannon, their head coach, who we have a great sound clip of, making weird video game sound effects, talking to a wide receiver about going down the field, is bizarre. I don't know how great of a coach he is, but I'm interested in this Connor Trey Benson backfield. I'm interested in Marvin Harrison and Greg Dortch and Michael Wilson, some of these names out there in Arizona to go with Kyler Murray, who should be healthy. Last year, as he started to get his feet wet again, was running for 35, 40 yards per game down the stretch of the season. They were more competitive as the season went on. I'm interested in Arizona. Again, not good, but better than we think.
I think that I like Sam Howell wearing a single-digit number. Anybody watch Slinging Sam Howell for the Seattle Seahawks this weekend? I watched his game. By the way, I found myself rooting for Sam a little
bit.
Were
you?
Yeah, I just want to see the kid do well. Why not? 16 of 27 for a 130 and a touchdown. He played a lot for the Seahawks. Geno Smith out with an injury. I don't know if they would have played him anyway, but Sam Howell got a ton of run in this preseason game. As many attempts as anybody in the league. And he looked okay. He was pretty sharp. But he moved the number down the dial from 14 to 6. And I got to say, the single digit looked a little better on Sam, if I could say that. Also, he's now completed his full Baker Mayfield transition, where him and Baker now wear the same number and have the same stature and have the beard. Everyone just compares him to Baker Mayfield because
Sam Mayfield.
It's the same size and kind of general look, and they both have good arms. But Sam Howell, A, I found myself rooting for him, so I guess I'm going to be a Sam Howell guy in Seattle. But B, I like the new look for Sam Howell with number 6 in Seattle.
I think the Giants are going to be terrible. I think they're picking top 5 again. I think they're going to end up being really, 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 really bad.
What if Malik Nabers is a baller?
They can catch some passes and losses. I think he'll have some nice numbers as they're trailing on the scoreboard an awful lot. There are some decent pieces there in New York. They went and added Brian Burns, obviously opposite the guy that we couldn't, Charles Leno could never block. Why am I blanking on his name? Defensive end,
Thibodeau.
Really fast.
Kayvon Thibodeau.
Thank you. They've got some pieces that are intriguing, right? Defensively, but one of the things I looked at was basically they are about a 30% winning percentage team against everybody not named Washington over the last couple of seasons. Like, they're good against Washington. Won 2 of their 6 games last year against Washington. They're garbage against everybody else, and unfortunately, you have to play everybody else.
Yeah, I definitely get that. They probably will not be any good. but I don't want to deal with that pass rush. Trading for Brian Burns and having Kayvon Thibodeau on the outside in the D-tackle room that they already had, I think there's a chance that they end up being one of the best defensive lines in football. And generally, you can't have an elite defensive line and be horrendous. You know what I mean?
Like, yes.
You impact games, you force takeaways, you sack the quarterback. Dexter Lawrence is a top three D-tackle. Thibodeau has mostly been good against Washington when he's been good. And then Brian Burns, man. That guy is, where would you rank him? Top five pass rusher in football?
Close to it.
Something like that? But they'll be solid. I'm just such a fan of bringing in a weapon that they have not had at all. They don't have the trigger man,
maybe? Since Beckham, early career Beckham.
We'll find out once and for all what Daniel Jones is capable of as a passer, because it's been easy for them to say, correctly, I know people don't care about context and nuance and information. They just like to bury Daniel Jones, but like, they've had zero weapons. Mm-hmm. Two things can be true. He might not be any good, but you have to acknowledge, how would you know? He hasn't had anyone to throw to, and that's no longer the case with Malik Nabers.
Totally, yeah. They upgraded that room instantaneously with one name.
He's Danny. I'm Grant. You are listening to The Fan. That's the things that we think coming out of a week of preseason games. One of the guys that you all wanted, that everybody listening seemingly thought Washington was going to draft and should draft, they passed on. They knew better. He got extended today. Their guy's not getting an extension. That's next on G&D.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
If you want the real story behind the NFL, you need the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. Three-time Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth breaks down the biggest plays, the biggest games, and the untold stories that make this game what it is. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All of our training camp coverage on The Fan is presented by Paul Henry's Window Installation. PaulHenrysWindows.com, your clear home improvement choice. You just heard Toby in his update talking about Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah, who's getting a 3-year extension via the Cleveland Browns. That's a name you should be familiar with, because 3 years ago, when the Commanders made no secret about the fact that they wanted to draft a linebacker in the first round, he was the guy that a lot of people thought they were going to take. Owusu-Koramoah was a tremendous college talent who was coming out as a multi-dimensional and versatile guy from Notre Dame who could play DB, linebacker, could be multiple, move all over the defense. And what I remember about the pre-draft process was he was the guy, for whatever reason, Danny, that this fan base completely fell in love with. Every time we talked about who you wanted, it was J.O.K.
That name came up, yeah.
And it wasn't close. It was like he was the most beloved, from this fan base's perspective, player in that class. And I tweeted this today. I will never suggest that anyone on the outside knows more about the people that are on the inside, because I do think that that's just disrespectful. And frankly, it's just not true. Like, they have so much more intel, information. They're getting paid a lot of money. They have all kinds of resources at their disposal, and they've got careers and backgrounds and track records and a lot of smart minds in a room all making the decision together, okay? So anyone who pretends like they know better than the coach or the GM, they're wrong. Doesn't mean you shouldn't have an opinion. It just means that they know better and differently, essentially. But it doesn't mean that they can't be wrong with all of their information or their evaluations. and that the person who knows less can't be right. Sometimes the more you know or the closer you are to something, you get right up on it like a painting. You got to go 10 feet back to really see what it is. And I say all this to say, one of the most hilarious things to me in sports media now is when all of us, and I'm going to just say we're the dummies, right? Like right. I'm putting myself and you and anyone else in that category, but the media, the fans, the outsiders, when all of us outsiders see something, think something, want something, and then a team does the opposite and we're all going, let's see how this works. And then we were right and they were wrong. It's so comical and hilarious. Because again, they knew better. I'm not suggesting they didn't, but whatever they knew was wrong.
Yeah, you have a better spirit about it than I do. I find it maddening that the people who I'm not compensated for that for my draft selections, they were the paychecks all cleared. Every 2 weeks, a direct deposit went to whatever account they've got saying, this is what you're being compensated for, this prep, these decisions. At the time, I actually didn't want Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah. I wanted Christian Darrisaw, who also is a Pro Bowler who signed a lucrative extension, who's a left tackle. Wouldn't that have been nice? The guy that, in Washington, this has happened a couple different times over, the nobody had him in the first round, but they took him in the first round guy. It's brilliant when San Francisco does it. It was brilliant back in the day when Green Bay did it or Baltimore does it, et cetera. It ain't brilliant when you think you know better than everybody else. And it's not just media guys. It's right. It's guys that cover the draft year round who are talking to teams, talking to players, talking to scouts and everything in between when they put up the rankings. Not just pulling it out of nowhere. Now some of it's misdirection, and you know there's always, as you said, a little bit more information that people might know, whether it's medical or a moment of bad behavior that hasn't been made public, whatever. But these consensus drafts, these mock drafts, don't come out of thin air, right? It's informed speculation, and when somebody like Jamin Davis goes 50 picks before he's supposed to go, and they're patting themselves on the back, you're going, you buffoons, you idiots. And if you're right, I'll have to eat my words. But by the time we realize that you were wrong, you're already collecting a paycheck doing something else.
It's just so annoying that in that draft class, they had, my guy was Christian Darrisaw. I didn't think they were going to take him. That's who I wanted them to take. That's who I would have taken, probably. But he's become maybe the best left tackle in football. Christian Darrisaw. And on the other side of the ball, you want to go linebacker? Let's go linebacker. A bunch of us with glasses that we weren't wearing at the time saw Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah as a playmaker. Now, I didn't know a lot about Jamin Davis. Now, we heard his name the closer we got to the draft, linked to Washington. And I remember the day of, a couple days before the draft, there was some speculation that they might take him in the second round, that they could trade back and take him in the late first round. But when everybody thought one thing, and then the team said, you guys are adorable.
That is precious.
With your lack of information and knowledge. We know best. And I bring this up today, obviously, because Owusu-Koramoah got all the money because he's an awesome player. And Jamin Davis didn't have his fifth-year option picked up, forget an extension, and he has changed positions now at training camp working as a defensive end. So I had Darris find the predictions that we had the media make ahead of the draft in 2021, 3 years ago, just to go down memory lane. Because I have not heard this, but I said, I'll bet you a lot of people predicted they were going to go Owusu-Koramoah. It was like JOK and Darrisaw were like the guys that were going to be available there that made a lot of sense. And if you're plugged in, I haven't heard, but I remember a couple people said Jamin Davis because that's what we were hearing. I think those of us who talked to people in the building were like, you got to watch this Jamin Davis guy.
Do I?
It's like, you're talking a lot about Owusu-Koramoah. You got to watch this Jamin Davis. But let's just go down memory road. Let's see what people were saying. We played this on the day of the draft in 2021.
This is Pete Haley with NBC Sports Washington, and with the 19th overall pick, I believe the Washington football team will grab Notre Dame linebacker Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah.
Hey, this is Darren Haynes from WSA 9.
Really, Washington football team.
NBC Sports Washington. I'll see that and raise you that. We've seen a lot of changing right now.
Were we still 106.7 The Fan? I guess we were.
Was it the Don and Mike show on JFK?
It was not the Infinity Sports Network, our national affiliate, I'll tell you that.
No, all sir. Right.
Sports, I believe the Washington football team will select another local kid straight out of Virginia Tech, Riverdale Baptist offensive tackle Christian Darrisaw.
That's Sam Fortier in the game, maybe, with the other than Trent Williams.
With the 19th pick in the draft tonight, I expect Washington to select TCU safety Trevon Moehrig.
Hello, everybody. This is ABC7 sports anchor Scott Abraham with the 19th overall pick in the 2021 NFL draft. I believe the Washington football team will select Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoa, linebacker,
if only
Notre
Scotty.
Dame. Ultimately, three of the primary voices inside that Washington draft room, Mayhew, Rivera, and even Jack Del Rio, have defensive backgrounds.
Fired. All of them are fired.
That was before the dust-up comment.
Yeah,
I think,
old dust-up might have had some
old
input.
Dust-up Rivera. All right, keep it moving.
Hey, excited. Draft day is
Bishbox.
Awesome. It's Jason Bishop from the Junkies.
Trace McSorley.
And I think with the 19th pick in the 2021 NFL Draft, Washington will select Micah Parsons.
Silly.
Inside LB from Penn State.
I would have been steamed.
Can you imagine?
Freak, about 6'3", 4'4 speed, sideline to sideline, can tackle.
That would have been incredible.
Played
my goodness.
Big games. Got some character issues. He likes to beat up his teammates, but we can overlook that. It's definitely a team need, and I don't think you can overlook the athleticism. He's the best linebacker in the draft. So, Micah Parsons to Washington.
This is Darren Stammerin, executive
he
producer.
He was on it there.
How about a little victory lap for Bishbucks?
Yeah, he was on it, but he did go four picks before Washington, so he never got to the Commanders. They didn't pass on him.
Show here on 106.7 The Fan, and I think that at number 19, the Washington football team is going to select a linebacker, but it won't be JOK. It won't be Micah Parsons. They'll select Jamin Davis, the linebacker out of Kentucky. I think the other two linebackers will be.
That's gone. Cringy. I don't feel great about that.
When was that recorded? Did you do that today?
No, I swear. I was the one that paraded around that I had called that we were picking Jamin Davis.
Let's see what Rick Snyder did.
We'll select Notre Dame linebacker Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoa. Michael Phillips here with the Richmond Times-Dispatch. I think they want to trade up. I really do. They've been asking teams what it'll take to get there. I think ultimately the price is going to be too high, though. And so the guy I think they'll take, if he's on the board, Christian Darrisaw, offensive lineman, Virginia Tech. He is reminiscent of Brandon Sheriff in a lot of ways. Hardworking guy, quiet worker, but a man, he is strong as all get out. You know how much Ron Rivera
there's
likes
one issue.
Sheriff. Gave him $18 million.
There's one issue here.
Guard.
If you could pause that for Darrisaw. A second. The one issue is he's too good at football, and we're not allowed in that organization's era, the Rivera era, they weren't allowed to get first-round picks right. So if they would have taken Darrisaw, that would have broken that streak.
Now, here, in fairness to them, I want to be deferential. It's easy to say in hindsight, okay? Do you know who their left tackle was at that point?
That was pre-Charles Leno.
Yeah, because they hadn't signed Leno yet, so this is during the draft. They were all set at that spot.
Ty Ansekhe?
Nope. No one knows who it was. They weren't all set. It was Jaron Christian, David Steinmetz, David Sharp, and Cornelius Lucas, who is now the left tackle of the present, apparently.
Who everyone calls Big Luke for some reason.
I'm good on that.
Okay.
What I wasn't good on was their left tackle spot.
What else we got over there, Darris? Any more predictions here?
Hey, this is JP from the Junkies, and I'm going to stun you with the 19th pick. The Washington football team will select quarterback Mac Jones, who slides because San Francisco, it's all
Mac
a smoke
Jones.
Screen. They take Trey Lance. Mac Jones slides down, and he's right there for the Washington football team, and they take their quarterback of the future, Mac Jones.
So guess what? Mac Jones did actually slide. He called most of that, but he wasn't available. He went a few picks.
Slid to 15.
I think he was like 15, mm-hmm. a couple picks after Parsons in that range. Washington was at 19.
Had a pretty darn good rookie year, and then it all came crashing down.
The story was, I'm trying to make the case that everybody had a linebacker penciled in, and it wasn't Jamin Davis.
This is Matt Paris with the Washington Times. With the 19th pick, the Washington football team selects the Notre Dame linebacker, mm-hmm. Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoa. I have them going linebacker here rather than offensive tackle. So,
ladies and gentlemen. Mm. Sometimes it's right in front of your face.
By the way, memory lane. A lot of changes.
6 inches.
Yeah.
In front of your face. Yeah, Paris is now covering the Saints in New Orleans.
Like Norland's Picayune Times Dispatch Picayune or
Times
something?
Times Dispatch Picayune Central.
Yeah, Picayune Central.
We got to call him and see how he's doing. I wonder if he's still doing his Thursday, what did he do?
He cooked
kitchen.
At home. Yeah.
He did his little wacky, you know, get three items in a basket and you got to impress the girlfriend on a Thursday thing. She put some things in a basket. And
like, remember he made something like unbelievably complicated and just sort of, he big timed, yeah, like wasn't a big deal. He's like, oh, like, yeah, I just
oh,
tried.
Oh, that's just my chutney glaze.
Yeah, he's like, what? Like,
what?
He's like, I used paragon. I'm like, is that even a spice? What is that?
It's a movie theater. The double play comes your way next on Grant and Danny. What's going on in our lives? Nothing to do with sports. We're blitzing at the top of the hour on The Fan. Welcome back to Grant and Danny. Our double play is driven to you by your local Washington area Honda dealers. Stop in for a great deal on the rugged and capable Honda Pilot. Contact your local Washington area Honda dealers today.
So, got back from the beach, as you know, Monday. The rest of the family is still down there, though, enjoying the rest of their vacation. And so I'm home alone, kind of doing bits, right?
That's a shame. I feel bad for you.
It is great. And I love and miss everybody. If you're listening, hi, love you, miss you, and so on, but it's awesome. I did something I haven't done in a while, like freshman year dorm type stuff last night. I stayed up till 3 o'clock in the morning. This is an actual thing. Beating a video game. So I knew I was close. I was sniffing it. So as you know, GP, you and I talked about this a bunch. Elden Ring, probably still a top five, top seven, easily top 10 video game of all time for me, from Software's title. So they're the guys that do, you know, Dark Souls, Demon Souls, and the Souls type games.
They do all the Souls games?
Yeah. So it's like super hard difficulty, major bosses, you know, just really punishing people that sort of live via pattern or try to cheese enemies.
Elden Ring you're talking about.
Yeah, Elden Ring.
The action role-playing game developed by...
From Software.
From Software.
Yeah. So the DLC dropped a couple months ago, and it's incredible. It's basically like, I'd say 45, 50%, almost like a brand new game, but in the Elden Ring universe.
Wasn't it directed by Miyazaki?
Yeah, I believe so.
Okay.
Yeah, right?
That's the one I thought it was.
What's your other favorite game by him?
Miyazaki?
Yeah.
Too many to name.
Just pick one.
Several. I will.
Several's actually a great game, by the way. You ever played Several?
No.
I made it up. The point is, it's awesome. And I knew that as I was entering kind of the last sort of areas, you could sort of sense a ramped up difficulty. You know, everything's a little bit less forgiving. So I don't want to spoil it for everybody, like who the end boss is. Just know that it's a challenge. It's really, really hard. But I beat it last night.
They already know that. It's a Miyazaki game.
They don't know who the end boss is. You have an idea. You have an inclination.
They know it's an impressive.
Well, like walking the path of Mikola, like everybody kind of knows. Anyway.
If they played Demon Souls, they know.
No, it's not related. It's a different universe, Grant.
I played Dark Souls, another one I really
like. Did you like 1, 2, or 3?
I only played the original.
You only played the first one?
Dark Souls, yeah.
And you didn't go back for more after playing Dark Souls?
Correct.
That's crazy to me. I mean, to each their own, but.
My favorite Mitsuyaka game is Bloodborne. Have you ever heard of that?
Yeah. I love that game, by the way.
Action
totally slept on.
Game.
A lot of the mechanics in this, obviously, are sort of Bloodborne-based.
Very similar.
The DLC, I beat it last night. Just quick shout-out to me. I am a level 287 warrior with the melee build. I didn't really enjoy sort of the magic and some of the range attacks. To me, the melee was the way to go. So north of 70 in vigor, endurance to allow a heavier equipment load so that you move quicker. And then dexterity, of course, and of course, strength. I left my arcane and faith type builds in the low 20s. I posted a picture of it at Funny Danny, just some of the character bona fides. But the big deal for me, Jeeps, I was able to find all 50 Shadow Tree blessings. I can't believe I did that. The last one in Enter Ilum is just sort of following a weird path on the stairs. I got so lucky just going down different precipices and walking on some ledges. You walk around a corner, you find it. Anyway, you get to a level 20 Shadow Tree blessing in the Shadow of the Earth Tree. You obviously raise your defense and you raise your attack power. I think it's like 1.3 times for every level of blessing that you have. It's the only way you're able to beat some of these heavy end game bosses, or even some of the ones you encounter in the world, like the Deathrite Bird, I'm trying to think of some of the others, you know, Church of the Bud,
yeah,
with the Scarlet Polerot, everything like that. So, overall, incredible experience. It was great to be back in that universe again. Do you have any questions?
Proud of you. I have no questions as I've already beaten the game, but I do want to know about your experience. Playing till 3 a.m.
3 a.m.
Felt good, huh?
I didn't think it was that late. I thought it was probably like 1:15, 1:30. I looked at the old watch and it had been buzzing for a while. Time to get up.
Were you snacking?
No.
Were you wearing your badminton gloves?
I don't have badminton gloves. I have a pickleball glove, but I wasn't wearing it for that. I was just in, again, this is old school college dorm style, mesh shorts only. You know what I'm talking about? Like the comfort of just mesh shorts, like you sort of shed the rest of it for the day.
Yeah.
Only mesh shorts, shirtless.
It's a great feeling.
Just playing video games till 3.
So dark and cold in your basement.
Oh, the best.
Good for you.
Drinking a hot tea and some cold water.
What time did you sleep until?
8:50.
Attaboy.
8:50 this morning. That's the latest I've slept in a while.
Time for my double play. You guys aren't going to believe this. I was up till 3 a.m. last night.
Playing Elden Ring.
I had a chance to beat the bad guy. No, just wanted to say that I went and saw M. Night Shyamalan's latest offering, Trap. Now, here's the thing.
Okay.
I'm not an M. Night Shyamalan guy, really. M. Night Shyamalan?
Shyamalan.
He made some good movies. He's gotten some license now to kind of do whatever he wants. I like just seeing what's up in his brain, like what's going on in there lately.
Yep.
I thought the trailer for his new movie was actually fascinating.
He's on the all trailer team. The trailers for his movies look incredible.
I agree with that. The movie was worth seeing, I would say. It was nothing special. Josh Hartnett stars in it, and I don't know where he's been for the last 20 years. He's the former like teenage heartthrob, young adult heartthrob. He was just gone for a while. He was actually sensational in this movie. But without giving anything away, there's a concert taking place. And as it turns out from the research I did after the movie, like the star of the concert, the girl that everyone's in love with under a different name in the movie, is actually M. Night Shyamalan's real life daughter, who's like a musician. So in a sense, it's just like a movie that puts his daughter over in a way. Now, as a father of a daughter, I'm not going to judge him for that.
Mm-hmm.
I just found that interesting. I was like, because you're watching this movie, and basically this girl is Taylor Swift in the movie.
Right.
All the kids and all the parents, they're all going to this concert. They're all giddy. They're like, maybe I'll get to meet her. They're like, who is this person? She's singing. She sounds like she's got a real voice. Like, this has to be a real person. I don't know. Who is this? And I'm looking it up, and she's a very famous, I don't know about in the States exclusively or what, like singer who is M. Night Shyamalan's daughter. And I was like, okay. So did he just start with, I want to make a movie for my daughter? Or did he make a movie about a concert and a superstar actress, singer, and he's like, who should I have play this? Let's see. He like ran through a long list, and they all said no, and then he was like...
Then a bunch of people auditioned, and he's like, you know who was good?
Right, exactly. So that's the one thing I can't really get past.
Yeah.
Having said that, I like creative new things, because there's so many movies that are not that, and this was something I haven't seen before, where... If you remember back in the day, they like tricked a bunch of felons, allegedly.
Mm-hmm.
Do we have to say allegedly? It's been 30 years, and I think a lot got arrested. They tricked a bunch of bad guys into coming...
Wanted peoples.
Exactly. To coming to get tickets to a Redskins game at RFK Stadium for like a playoff game. And there were no tickets. They just sent out a memo to a bunch of people that were wanted. They said, meet us at the DC Convention Center. And they all showed up and sat in a room. And they're like, hey, how are you doing? And before they could realize, like, are you also wanted? Yeah, I'm wanted. They're all, I'm wanted. I murdered a guy. Yeah, I stole a couple cars. They're like, we got to get out of here. And the doors are locked, and then the cops are surrounding them, and they all get arrested. Do you remember that?
Of course, yeah.
It's kind of the bit where they find out that there's a bad guy or girl going to this movie. They don't know who it is, but they want to catch this person. They've been trying for a long time, and now they're barricading the whole stadium at this concert, and there's no way out for the bad guy or the girl. Bad girl, whoever it is.
The bad person. Mm-hmm.
That's the movie.
Yeah.
It's a really cool idea.
That is a neat premise. Again, first team all premise. He leads the league in excellent premises or like cool little twist movies. But the number of times it's just, for whatever reason, whether it's fallen flat or just the execution's weird. Like the movie The Happening with Mark Wahlberg, where it's like, the trees are really angry, you guys. They're breathing. And like, and then everyone just starts dying. I mean, it was so stupid. You know, the whole thing was so stupid. There was one terrifying moment where the old lady's looking out from outside in on the window and like smashes her face. That was scary.
Did he do The Village?
Yes.
I still hate him for The Village. The Village stunk. Oh, what a terrible movie that was. Did he do Scott, The Witch? No, that's not the right movie. I'm thinking of something else. But The Village is definitely horrendous. But here's the other thing I'd say about his movies.
Mm-hmm.
For like an hour and 20 minutes, we're cooking. And then it feels like at some point he's just like, And I got to get home for
dinner. I should probably.
You know, it's just like, how do I wrap going, up?
Hit the old dusty trail.
We could do a really good 50 minutes, or we'll just figure this thing out in the next 26.
His Unbreakable universe, the three movies, Unbreakable, Split, and Glass.
Yeah, those were good.
Really cool premise. All too long and dragged a little bit, but still, like.
Had their moments.
This is ingenious. This is like someone who's thinking about things in a different way. It's just, there's always something missing with the execution in my mind.
It's been good to be back at the theater off and on.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You've been going to a lot of movies lately.
Last couple of weeks. I think I've been to three the last couple of weeks. I was kicking it Danny Ruye style.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of playing video games till 3 a.m, I was going to the movie.
She went to a movie.
That was kind of how I did it. But yeah, M. Night Shyamalan keeps on chopping wood. We're going to keep swinging. You throw that pitch, we're going to swing. Grant and Danny on the Fan. We are blitzing at the top of the hour. Albert Breer of MMQB and SI joins us at 5:30 to break down the Commanders.
Hey, football fans, you want the real deal? The raw, unfiltered truth about everything going down in the NFL? Join Mark Schlereth, 3-time Super Bowl champ, on the Stinkin' Truth podcast. He's breaking it all down for you. No punches pulled. From the game-changing moments that won or lost a game to the player evaluations, this is analysis you won't hear anywhere else. Mark's got you covered. So strap in and get ready for the ride, because this isn't your average football podcast. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Welcome back to Grant and Danny. Our double plays driven to you by your local Washington area Honda dealers. Stop in for a great deal on the rugged and capable Honda Pilot. Contact your local Washington area Honda dealers today.
So, got back from the beach, as you know, Monday. The rest of the family is still down there, though, enjoying the rest of their vacation. And so I'm home alone, kind of doing bits, right?
That's a shame. I feel bad for you.
It is great. And I love and miss everybody. If you're listening, hi, love you, miss you, and so on, but it's awesome. I did something I haven't done in a while, like freshman year dorm type stuff last night. I stayed up till 3 o'clock in the morning. This is an actual thing. Beating a video game. So I knew I was close. I was sniffing it. So as you know, GP, you and I talked about this a bunch. Elden Ring, probably still a top 5, top 7, easily top 10 video game of all time for me, from Software's title. So they're the guys that do, you know, Dark Souls, Demon Souls, and the Souls type games.
They do all the Souls games?
Yeah. So it's like super hard difficulty, major bosses, you know, just really punishing people that sort of live via pattern or try to cheese enemies.
Elden Ring you're talking about.
Yeah, Elden Ring.
The action role-playing game developed by...
From Software.
From Software.
Yeah. So the DLC dropped a couple months ago, and it's incredible. It's basically like, I'd say 45, 50%, almost like a brand new game, but in the Elden Ring universe.
Wasn't it directed by Miyazaki?
Yeah, I believe so.
Okay.
Yeah, right?
That's the one I thought it was.
What's your other favorite game by him?
Miyazaki?
Yeah.
Too many to name.
Just pick one.
Several. I will.
Several's actually a great game, by the way. You ever played Several?
No.
I made it up. The point is, it's awesome. And I knew that as I was entering kind of the last sort of areas, you could sort of sense a ramped up difficulty. You know, everything's a little bit less forgiving. So I don't want to spoil it for everybody, like who the end boss is. Just know that it's a challenge. It's really, really hard. But I beat it last night.
They already know that. It's a Miyazaki game.
They don't know who the end boss is. You have an idea. You have an inclination.
They know it's an impressive.
Well, like walking the path of Mikola, like everyone kind of knows. Anyway,
if they played Demon Souls, they know.
No, it's not related. It's a different universe, Grant.
I played Dark Souls. Another one I really liked.
Did you like 1, 2, or 3?
I only played the original.
You only played the first one?
Dark Souls, yeah.
And you didn't go back for more after playing Dark Souls?
Correct.
That's crazy to me. I mean, but to each their own, but...
My favorite Mitsuyaka game is Bloodborne. Have you ever heard of that?
Yeah. Yeah. I love that game, by the way.
Action
totally
role
slept
playing
on.
Game.
A lot of the mechanics in this, obviously, are sort of Bloodborne-based.
Very
so,
similar.
The DLC, I beat it last night. Just quick shout-out to me. I am a level 287 warrior. With the melee build, I didn't really enjoy sort of the magic and some of the range attacks. To me, the melee was the way to go. So north of 70 in vigor, endurance to allow a heavier equipment load so that you move quicker, and then dexterity, of course, and of course, strength. I left my arcane and faith type builds in the low 20s. I posted a picture of it at Funny Danny, just some of the character bona fides. But the big deal for me, Jeeps, I was able to find all 50 Shadow Tree blessings. I can't believe I did that. The last one in Enter Illum is just sort of following a weird path on the stairs. I got so lucky just going down different precipices and walking on some ledges. You walk around a corner, you find it. Anyway, you get to a level 20 Shadow Tree blessing in the Shadow of the Earth Tree. You obviously raise your defense and you raise your attack power. I think it's like 1.3 times for every level of blessing that you have. It's the only way you're able to beat some of these heavy endgame bosses, or even some of the ones you encounter in the world, like the Deathrite Bird, I'm trying to think of some of the others, you know, Church of the Bud,
yeah,
with the Scarlet Polerot, everything like that. So overall, incredible experience. It was great to be back in that universe again. Do you have any questions?
Proud of you. I have no questions as I've already beaten the game, but I do want to know about your experience. Playing till 3 a.m.
3 a.m.
Felt good, huh?
I didn't think it was that late. I thought it was probably like 1:15, 1:30. I looked at the old watch and it had been buzzing for a while. Time to get up.
Were you snacking?
No.
Were you wearing your badminton gloves?
I don't have badminton gloves. I have a pickleball glove, but I wasn't wearing it for that. I was just in, again, this is old school college dorm style, mesh shorts only. You know what I'm talking about? Like the comfort of just mesh shorts, like you sort of shed the rest of it for the day.
Yeah.
Only mesh shorts, shirtless.
It's a great feeling.
Just playing video games till 3.
So dark and cold in your basement.
Oh, the best.
Good for you.
Drinking a hot tea and some cold water.
What time did you sleep until?
8:50.
Attaboy.
8:50 this morning. That's the latest I've slept in a while.
Time for my double play. You guys aren't going to believe this. I was up till 3 a.m. last night.
Playing Elden Ring?
Playing Elden Ring. I had a chance to beat the bad guy. No, just wanted to say that I went and saw M. Night Shyamalan's latest offering, Trap. Now, here's the thing.
Okay.
I'm not an M. Night Shyamalan guy, really. M. Night Shyamalan?
Shyamalan.
He made some good movies. He's gotten some license now to kind of do whatever he wants. I like just seeing what's up in his brain, like what's going on in there lately.
Yep.
I thought the trailer for his new movie was actually fascinating.
He's on the all-trailer team. The trailers for his movies look incredible.
I agree with that. The movie was worth seeing, I would say. It was nothing special. Josh Hartnett stars in it, and I don't know where he's been for the last 20 years. He's the former like teenage heartthrob, young adult heartthrob. He was just gone for a while. He was actually sensational in this movie. But without giving anything away, there's a concert taking place, and as it turns out from the research I did after the movie, like the star of the concert, the girl that everyone's in love with under a different name in the movie, is actually M. Night Shyamalan's real-life daughter, who's like a musician. So in a sense, it's just like a movie that puts his daughter over in a way. Now, as a father of a daughter, I'm not going to judge him for that.
Mm-hmm.
I just found that interesting. I was like, because you're watching this movie, and basically this girl is Taylor Swift in the movie.
Right.
All the kids and all the parents, they're all going to this concert. They're all giddy. They're like, maybe I'll get to meet her. They're like, who is this person? She's singing. She sounds like she's got a real voice. Like, this has to be a real person. I don't know. Who is this? And I'm looking it up, and she's a very famous, I don't know about in the States exclusively or what, like singer who is M. Night Shyamalan's daughter. And I was like, okay. So did he just start with, I want to make a movie for my daughter? Or did he make a movie about a concert and a superstar actress singer, and he's like, who should I have play this? Let's see. He like ran through a long list and they all said no, and then he was like,
then a bunch of people auditioned and he's like, you know who was good?
Right, exactly. So that's the one thing I can't really get past.
Yeah.
Having said that, I like creative new things because there's so many movies that are not that, and this was something I haven't seen before, where if you remember back in the day, they like tricked a bunch of felons, allegedly.
Mm-hmm.
Do we have to say allegedly? It's been 30 years, and I think a lot got arrested. They tricked a bunch of bad guys into coming.
Wanted peoples.
Exactly. To coming to get tickets to a Redskins game at RFK Stadium for like a playoff game. And there were no tickets. They just sent out a memo to a bunch of people that were wanted. They said, meet us at the DC Convention Center. And they all showed up and sat in a room. And they're like, hey, how are you doing? And before they could realize, like, are you also wanted? Yeah, I'm wanted. They're all, I'm wanted. I murdered a guy. Yeah, I stole a couple cars. They're like, we got to get out of here. And the doors are locked, and then the cops are surrounding them, and they all get arrested. You remember that?
Of course, yeah.
It's kind of the bit where they find out that there's a bad guy or girl going to this movie. They don't know who it is, but they want to catch this person. They've been trying for a long time, and now they're barricading the whole stadium at this concert, and there's no way out for the bad guy or the girl. Bad girl, whoever it is.
The bad person.
The bad person.
Mm-hmm.
That's the movie.
Yeah.
It's a really cool idea.
That is a neat premise. Again, first team all premise. He leads the league in excellent premises or like cool little twist movies. But the number of times it's just, for whatever reason, whether it's fallen flat or just the execution's weird. Like the movie The Happening with Mark Wahlberg, where it's like, the trees are really angry, you guys. They're breathing. And like, and then everyone just starts dying. And it was so stupid. You know, the whole thing was so stupid. There was one terrifying moment where the old lady's looking out from outside in on the window and like smashes her face. That was scary.
Did he do The Village?
Yes.
I still hate him for The Village. The Village stunk. Oh, what a terrible movie that was. Did he do Scott, The Witch? No, that's not the right movie. I'm thinking of something else. But The Village is definitely horrendous. But here's the other thing I'd say about his movies.
Mm-hmm.
For like an hour and 20 minutes, we're cooking. And then it feels like at some point he's just like, all right, I got to get home for dinner.
I should probably.
You know, it's just like, how do I wrap up?
Hit the old dusty trail.
We could do a really good 50 minutes or we'll just figure this thing out in the next 26.
His Unbreakable universe, the three movies, Unbreakable, Split, and Glass.
Yeah, those were good.
Really cool premise. All too long and dragged a little bit, but still like.
Had their moments.
This is ingenious. This is like someone who's thinking about things in a different way. It's just, there's always something missing with the execution in my mind.
Been good to be back at the theater off and on.
Here. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you've been going to a lot of movies lately.
Last couple of weeks. I think I've been to three the last couple of weeks. My fam, I was kicking it Danny Ruye style.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of playing video games till 3 a.m, I was going to the movies.
She went to a movie.
That was kind of how I did it. But yeah, M. Night Shyamalan keeps on chopping wood. We're going to keep swinging. You throw that pitch, we're going to swing. Grant and Danny on the fan. We are blitzing at the top of the hour. Albert Breer of MMQB and SI joins us at 5:30 to break down the Commanders.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Hey, football fans, you want the real deal? The raw, unfiltered truth about everything going down in the NFL? Join Mark Schlereth, 3-time Super Bowl champ, on the Stinkin' Truth podcast. He's breaking it all down for you. No punches pulled. From the game-changing moments that won or lost a game to the player evaluations, this is analysis you won't hear anywhere else. Mark's got you covered. So strap in and get ready for the ride, because this isn't your average football podcast. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.